be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, for the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One can only imagine, try to imagine, the apostles in that upper room on that day before this magnificent event occurred. And there they were, scared, huddled together, really, really worried. Were the crowds going to break in and take them? Can they go downstairs, go outside? Will the crowds grab them and put them on the cross that they had done to Jesus? But they waited. They waited because they trusted Jesus to keep his promise that he would send an advocate. And so, sitting there scared, petrified, if you will, what happened? The windows open, the doors open, tongues of fire, what appeared to be tongues of fire, come in, rested on them, and a great noise, a great wind, sound of the wind, a great noise was heard so loud that even the people on the streets heard it. So what happened? The mystical body of Christ, the church, was born on that day. We don't often talk about the mystical body of Christ. Jesus talked about it really a great deal, but never really have we ever put all those times when he spoke of it together. He said, and he told them, that someday there would be a new body. He would have a new body. But it wasn't the same physical body that he got from Mary. That's a glorified body that now sits at the right hand of the Father. And it wouldn't be a body like a social club, the Knights of Columbus, or whatever it might happen to be, because it was made by man. But it would be a mystical body, one that would be bound to him by the Holy Spirit forever and forever, for always. And more importantly, the mystical body, St. Paul talked of it in terms of a real body with limbs and arms and different parts and different pieces in order that the Gentiles might understand it. Jesus called it sometimes the kingdom. But the unity of the Holy Spirit that unites that mystical body, all of us, with him, also unites each and every one of us with each other. Jesus spoke of it several times. As they say, we never really put it all together, so I'm going to try to do that today. He said that his body, this mystical body, that would be created when the Holy Spirit comes, would have some special faculties, some special features. Recall the conversations with Nicodemus about being born again of water and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, to be a member of this mystical body, you must be born of the Spirit and baptized in the waters of baptism. That's so that we could all become adopted children of God, brothers and sisters to Jesus. Unified, all in one. And then he said, the unity between him body would not be born or not be brought into existence or anything by blood sacrifice. It would not be born or brought into existence even by praise and prayer or even hymns sung in church. It would be come into existence by our sharing in his life, a relationship with him. This is the one thing, especially, that the Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of Protestant evangelical churches got perfectly right. You have to have a relationship with Jesus in order to partake of the mystical body and in order to be rewarded with heaven. And so Jesus said, this time, you remember this, dwell in me as I in you. I am the vine and you are the branches. That was his parable to show the relationship of the people with him and in the mystical body of Christ. He said also, and you'll recall these words from Scripture as well, that the mystical body of Christ will be simple at first, and then will get more complex. We probably didn't put that together when he said that the body of Christ will be as small as a mustard seed, but will eventually grow larger. And he used the example, this you'll recall, of the stalk of corn. And he said, first the blade, then the ear, and then full-grown corn in the ear. He was talking about from the most simple to the most complex. Catholic Church, as you know, has obviously gotten much more complex. And he said there would only be one body. There won't be many bodies. If there are lots of bodies and lots of heads, there would be chaos. No one would know who to follow. St. Paul talked about it. You can't follow Apollo. You can't follow Paul. You can't follow Theocritus. Whoever, we must only follow the one head of the church. And so the church would only be one. The mystical body of Christ, you and I, would only be one. To keep it one, there would have to be only one shepherd. The mystical body of Christ, made up of many limbs and many people, but only one head. And so he said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now keep that in mind, focus on that. On this rock I will build my church. He didn't say, thou art Peter, and you're going to be one of the rocks on which I build my church. There's going to be lots of other rocks. There's one church. There's only one church of Jesus Christ in the world today. It's the Catholic Church. There's only one leader, one shepherd, one head. That's Jesus Christ, who acts through the Holy Father and the other hierarchy of the church. And then he said, and you know this from the last couple of weeks, that the mystical body would only be manifest when he sends the Holy Spirit. I will go to the Father, and he will send to you the one who will guide you and teach you and help you to understand everything that I have taught you. And then he said just a few days ago in the gospel message, a week or so ago, because if I do not go, your advocate will not come. I will go to the Father and he will send the Holy Spirit to be with you, to guide you and help you to understand. Finally, the most interesting observation, least interesting to me, the most interesting observation that Jesus said about the body of Christ was that it would be hated by this world. And you'll remember this. He said, because I have chosen you out of the world, for that reason the world hates you. Anything worldly, the world loves. Anything divine, the world hates. And we know that's true. The church, and this is what the book of Revelation is really all about, that the church will be persecuted always, constantly, from time to time, throughout all of history. From the time of Nero, probably the first persecution, to today. The church is persecuted today, as you know. Nuns, priests are killed all over the world. We're criticized in this country because we speak of objective truth. That's persecution just as much, not quite as bad, perhaps, as under Nero or Domitian and some of those guys. But the church, that's the point of the book of Revelation, will always be persecuted. From Nero to the 21st century, and God knows how long into the future until the Lord returns. The nucleus of that mystical body was the apostles, those men in the upper room along with Mary. They did good. They did their share. They did what they were supposed to do. And now it's time for our response to the gospel, for our response to the call of the Holy Spirit. The mystical body of Christ is now today, you and I. It started out with those 11 apostles, but today it has grown to us. Their objective was to evangelize the world. That's our objective today. Go forth, teach all the nations everything that I have told you. That's what he told them. What he says to us, go forth, teach the people in the Brantford, O'Brien, Trenton area, Bell. Teach those people everything that you have learned from me. If we look at the readings today, the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel, you would easily ask yourself a question. In those circumstances, those poorer people in that upper room so afraid, you would say, if it were Time magazine at that time, it would say on the front cover, the church, the Catholic Church, will not survive. If anybody looked at it logically, that's probably an accurate assessment. But it did survive, because Jesus is with us. The Catholic Church will always, always survive as the one true church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is Jesus' church. It will survive because he promised to be with us always. It will survive because the Holy Spirit was with them and is with us just exactly the same as he was with them. We celebrate several Pentecosts. We celebrate this as a memorial of the Pentecost some 2,000 years ago. We celebrate the Pentecost of our baptism and our confirmation when we receive the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the Pentecost today because this very day in this little church in Brantford, Ohio, the Holy Spirit comes on you and I just as he did 2,000 years ago to those apostles in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit calls us to the same thing he called them to. Evangelize the world. But more specifically for us today, the Holy Spirit calls on us to speak out about the evil in the world, to speak out against abortion, euthanasia, injustice, oppression, and immorality. The Holy Spirit, in addition to telling us, to asking us, to commanding us to speak out against evil, also commands us to speak out in support of the good and the correct, in support of the truth in the world. We are the same mystical body that was created in that upper room 2,000 some years ago. We can take comfort, however, as they did in the words of Jesus, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be not afraid. I am with you